the very first siman of the Shulchan Aruch, siman Aleph Sif Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Ra'ui l'chol yirei shamayim, sheyehei meitzar b'do'eg al churban beis hamikdash. That every God-fearing Jew should be distressed and worried about the churban hamikdash. So there appear to be two distinct obligations that are mentioned by the Mechaber. One is Meitzer, and one is Doeg. What exactly are these two obligations that are mentioned by the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch? So the Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Tainis, Kol ha-misabel al Yerushalayim zoche b'roya b'simchasa. Someone who mourns over the destruction of the Yerushalayim will be zoche to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. But one who is not misabel on Yerushalayim will not be zeicher to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. So what exactly does the mechaber mean? And what is the intent of the Gemara in Maseches Tainis? So I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal many, many years ago that he explained the two expressions that are found in the mechaber in the beginning of our Chaim in the following way. He said that the Mishnah writes, famous Mishnah and Brachas, Mishnah and Yudzayin, the Mishnah tells us that Mishnah Mesa Mutta Lefanov, a person who has an obligation, to be kober, one of his relatives. So the Mishnah writes that his potter, Mikriyashma, and that's the din of an Einan. An Einan means someone before the Kavura. The Torah only mentions Aninus actually twice. The Torah mentions Aninus in the context of a pasuk that refers to the Lo Achalti Ba'ini Mimenu, and also in the context of the death of the children of Aaron HaKohen. The Achalti Chatzis Hayom Ha'ita B'nei Hashem. The Gemara has in Brachas in Zvachim. The Gemara discusses an Einan is Potter from all positive commandments, from all mitzvahs, although he's not allowed to transgress, of course, anything of a negative nature. He can't violate any lavin. So according to most opinion, and this is a machlokes, but we pass in the halacha, that an ayin is not allowed to do mitzvahs, even if he wants to do mitzvahs, he's not permitted to do so. It's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos in the very beginning of Mishameso, what the basis for the tour of an ayin is, whether it's tirda, but whatever the case is, an Einan is not allowed to go ahead and do any mitzvahs. So what exactly is the nature? Why is it so? Why would he insist on doing mitzvahs despite the terrible tragedy? Why should he be denied the opportunity to go ahead and do mitzvahs? So Rav Soloveitchik explained this based on the Zohar. That the Zohar tells us that every Jew is comprised of three components. They are well known: Naran, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. These three components are compared by the Zohar to the three parts of a flame. The bottom blue part is the hottest portion of the flame, but it doesn't give off as much light as the yellow section of the flame. It represents the animalistic, primal, sensual urges of a human being, the nefesh habahami. Nefesh kol chai, as the pasuk says in Chumash, man shares a common, hot, driving kind of passion with all creatures that Hashem created. This nefesh, however, does not shed much light. The light, of course, represents the chokhmah satera, light represents seichel. So that's the first component. The second component of a Jew is Ruach. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Ruach refers to the yellow portion of the flame, which is cooler than the bluer part. The yellow segment radiates more light than its dark blue counterpart. The Ruach is the cycle of a person which HaKadosh Baruch has given all of us to govern our Nefesh. Pasuk says, gracious, Vayipach Ba'apav, Nishmas Chayim, Vayi Adam, the Nefesh Chayim. The Targum, the famous translation, the Targum translates Leruach memalala. That's the koyach of a human being. It's the koyach hadibur, which reflects the logos, reflects the seichel of a human being. Man was given actually the power of thought. Man was given the power of speech to govern all of his sensual, animalistic drives. Nefesh kol chai beruach kol b'sarish. Also get Eof. Every living creature has a nefesh, but only man was endowed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only with the nefesh, but also with the ruach. The seichel and ruach of man is to cool down all of his past passions and to shed light. The light, of course, representing the light of Torah, the light of Chochmah. That's the second component. The third component is neshama, which, of course, is the most significant in the makeup of every yid. The neshama is compared by the Zohar to the gas that rises above the flame. The gas is there, but goes unnoticed, undetected by the naked human eye. We all have emunah that we have in the neshama, although which of us has ever experienced, felt, or detected that chelik elokai mimal from above? So now, Rav Soloveitchik explained, why is it that the halacha does not allow the einein to go ahead and carry out mitzvahs? So we have to deal with the two parts of man which can be experienced, namely the nefesh, which is the animalistic, instinctive element, and the ruach, which is the psychotic element, the intellect. When a person, chas v'shalom, becomes an einan, it's as if a powerful storm came and extinguished the second portion of the flame, namely the ruach. He lives with his instincts and emotions alone. He may feel that either Rachman Litzan, his mother, a father, Aleim HaShalom, that he laughed with, that he cried with, that he lived with, that he shared all his trials and tribulations with, is no longer, but he can't understand this stark reality. He can cry over the loss, but he can't accept it at that point intellectually. A person who lives only with nefesh and without ruach is not allowed to be an Eved Hashem. It's for that reason that an Einein is not allowed to do mitzvahs even if he wants to do so. If I said that itself, it's 2 days in Rishonim, Machlokes in Rishonim, Pasul Malach and Shulchan Aruch, an Einein is not allowed to do mitzvahs. Only after the Kvura, after the interment in Chazal feel that the person begins to comprehend the loss that he or she has suffered. At that point, he becomes an Avel, and he's obligated at that point to mitzvahs. And now we tell him to go ahead, because his ruach has been restored, now he can be an Eved Hashem and follow the dinim that I mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. And with that, Rav Soloveitchik explained as well a piece in Tanakh, the story of David and Bathsheba. Nosson HaNavi comes to David and explains to him by means of a mashal. So we find that David HaMelech only says two words, Chatzosi L'Hashem. Right away he says, Vidui. That's how the Mefarshim explained the distinction between Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. David HaMelech miyad was made them. Shaul delayed, procrastinated, attempted to explain and attempted to rationalize his situation. But David HaMelech miyad said, Chatzosi L'Hashem. So what exactly did David HaMelech have in mind? And there seems to be also a stira, first you ask about the stira between David HaMelech, what he said in Shmuel, and what he says in Tehillim. In Tehillim, the Perek Nun Aleph, that's a well-known Perek. David HaMelech has an extraordinary view. There are two Perekim in Tehillim that are generally associated with tshuva. One is Lamed Beis, one is Nun Aleph. So if you look at Nun Aleph, David HaMelech has an extraordinary view that contains all the elements of tshuva, namely charata, kabbalah laba, and their famous pukim there, the chatosu negdi tamid, which the Gemara has, and we pass the kabbalah of Yankim, as the Rambam passed the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, where the person who already went and did tshuva, is he obligated once again to re-articulate those chatoim? That's what we pass the halacha based on the pasuk, the chatosu negdi tamid, as opposed to the opinion of the Chachamim, which we don't pass them like, or the other pasuk that's also found over here in that parak, Leif Tahor, Baral, Barali Elokim, Ruach Nochem Chadish Bekirbi, Hashem, she created me a pure heart, are in that parak. So, how do you reconcile the two words of Chatzos Hashem, David says in Shmuel, two words, and yet we have a lengthy vidui that's found in Tehillim, Parak Nunal, about the same event. So, the answer, Rav Soloveitchik said, is there are two stages in Akaras HaChet, that leads to tshuva. One is the Adinus of Chet, And one is the Avelus of Chet. These are two separate components, two separate segments. And the Mashal, the Ma'ad Dovadomer, a person who may have been living a life of a Nachman Litzlan, of a Chote, of someone who transgressed for many years. And he was living complacently with that kind of a lifestyle. And one night, in the middle of his sleep, he has suddenly a siyut, kind of nightmare, and which shocked him into the reality of his existence and what has he done and what is his life all about. And he begins to scream, "Oi, oi, what happened? What have I done?" He takes a look at his life and he realizes that his life is bankrupt. He feels his low state of being a chayte. He's now reached the first stage in the road to spiritual recovery, to doing tshuva. That's the aminus of chet. The first emotional feeling of guilt, of remorse, but he doesn't yet fully understand or comprehend how deep and how embedded he is in avera. That's going to take weeks, months, and years of introspection, of meditation, and that will come later. And that will be the avelus of chet. So David HaMelech said, my Rebbe, the Rav Zatzal, experienced these two stages in the tshuva process regarding his chet with Bathsheba. The Goyin, the Vilna Goyin, has a famous comment. He points out that there's a psik, the emtza pasuk, is an empty space of nine letters following the words of Chatzasi Lashem. So what transpired during that empty space, says the Goyin? So the answer is, the David HaMelech, after saying Chatzasi Lashem, simply broke down in tears. And David HaMelech realized what happened. The only words that David HaMelech could say before breaking down emotionally was Chatzasi Lashem. That's the first stage in the process of the recognition of what I did, the emotional feeling of being a chete, what I shall let you call the aninus of chet. And in Tehillim, David HaMelech, after meditation and thought, reached the second stage. That's the avelus of chet. At that point, he recognizes, he acquired the understanding of how tragic his chet really was, and he discovered the causes that led him to chet, and only then was David HaMelech able to compose the remarkable Perek Tehillim and Perek Nun Aleph. There's no stira between the two words that are found in Sefer Shmuel and the lengthy vidui that's found in Tehillim and Perek Nun Aleph. There are two stages on the road leading to tshuva. So now, going back to the Gemara that we began with, the Gemara at the end of Maseches Tainis, that a person has an obligation regarding the Churban HaMikdash to be misabel. So here also, our Soloveitchik suggested, there are two obligations. There's the aninus of korban, and there's the avelus of korban. I remember many years ago when I learned in the yeshiva in Itri, so the mashkiach, the skan mashkiach, the mashkiach was a goyin of Yavan HaTzadik, Rabbi Yavan Zilba, Sefer Tzadik Dibrocha. The skan mashkiach was a goyin of Yehoshua Shvatz, Sheibod Al-Chayim Arukin. So he took us to an Arab school that was adjacent to the Harabayis to look down on the Makam HaMikdash. I remember that one of the Talmidim actually began to lean over quickly. He schlepped it back. So that is the best view of the Makam HaMikdash. And that is obviously when a person comes there, you can break down in tears, you're distraught over the Beis HaMikdash destruction. And that crying, that emotional distress that a person expresses is significant, is the first step of the obligation to mourn. That's the aninus of Churban, said Rav Soloveitchik. The feeling of pain, of anguish, the feeling of distress regarding the destruction, but that's not sufficient. The person has to come to the second madrega, which is the avelus of korban, the understanding of what the Beis HaMikdash meant to us, why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, how do we rebuild it, what must we do? And when a person carefully thinks, then a person is zocha to reach the second madrega, being misabel of the korban. Not only will he feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, they'll begin to understand this loss intellectually as well. Only such a person, called Misabel, al Yushalayim Zeicha Beroe B'Simchasa. He came to the Madrega, Misabel, after the Madrega of Aninus. It's interesting, Rav Soloveitchik once commented in the Shir he gave on Parshat Chayisara, I'm Sukkim Mepharshim Esther Kasha. Vayavu Avram, Lispay the Sora of the Kaisa. So Mepharshim Esther, Gemara says, Shoshi Yom the Bechi. That Bechi comes before Hespet. Hespet is more of an intellectual, analytic analysis of exactly what happened. A person evaluates, a person has to appraise the loss that he sustained. So why does the Torah reverse it? Vayavar Avram displayed the Zohar with the Tesa. So Rav Soloveitchik then explained there, Rav Avinu essentially sustained a double loss. One was a personal loss of his Eshes Chayim, but the other was a loss to the mother of Knesset Yisrael. Sarah Imenu was the mother of Knesset Yisrael, and she was a shutef with Avraham Avinu in every respect. As Hanevesh HaShe'asa B'chorin, as Chazal comment, that he was the one who was Mekari the Anoshim, she was Mekari the Noshim. So the fact they worked in partnership was a hybrid kind of relationship between Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. So there were two losses that he sustained, one a personal loss and one the loss of the mother of Knesset Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu was Mevater on his personal loss. And instead, he heightened and accentuated the loss to Klal Yisrael. That's what the Torah says. Vayavra Avraham, lispa de Sarah. First, the hesped, the intellectual evaluation, the appraisal of Sarah Imenu of her loss, and then the personal loss that became secondary or tertiary as far as Avraham Avinu was concerned. So here we have, again, Tzvei Dinim. There are two aspects. One is the Aninas of Churban, one is the Avelas of Churban, one is the feeling that everyone should have of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and how we're going about rebuilding it. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the pshat in the Mechaber, that the Mechaber Siman Aleph, the Mechaber says, she'en meitzer v'doyeg al-chub Beis HaMikdash. One is meitzer, one is doyeg. There's a dual requirement. Namely, the first chiyuv is to be meitzer. They want us to feel the stress, want us to feel emotionally, to cry and feel the pain, the anguish of the destruction. And the second already is a different madrega. That's Doyeg al-Chub Beis HaMikdash. And this is based actually on a pasuk in Eicha that we just read. It's also Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says that on the pasuk Kumi Rani Balayla, the Rosh HaShemura, the Chazal, the Rani Vomis, and elsewhere, Chazal comment that Ein Rina, Rav used to speak about this in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah of Keser, the Keser Torah one can only acquire by a person who devotes, and without Hesach Hadas in the study of Torah, especially at nighttime, the Gemara says in Brachis, the first paragraph, the right beginning, that there are three mishmaros at nighttime are called mishmar or mishmar Yeshua Kodesh Baruch Hu v'shoye kari. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Oy lebonim shebavonoseim hechrafti es besi v'sarafti es echoli v'iglesim lebenum asa olam. So one might ask, why is Hashem ki'ilu rubbing salt on the wounds? What does that remind us about our averas, about our shortcomings? Why is he just mourning the actual destruction and the aftermath, the tragic aftermath of the Churban HaMikdash? So the answer is that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, as we see in the Kinos, undoubtedly he himself, Ima Anochi Mitzara, just as we are being misabel of the Churban HaMikdash, the Eibishter is also being misabel of the Churban HaMikdash. And he's the one who's the model, who's teaching us how to be Mesabel. It's not simply enough to feel bad about the burning of the Eitzim Ba'abonim of the Makom HaMikdash, but we have to understand the underlying causes of the Churban himself, of the Churban. And therefore, if we comprehend, if we examine, then we can contribute to the building of the Beis HaMikdash once again. I'll just mention that there's a din in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodei Asim Mishin Tzadok Dalet. The Mechaber says, "Kol mi she'enu mesabel kama shetzibu chacham b'sukim ben avelos." That someone who doesn't practice avelos, the Chazal set up, arei zachzori, he's considered to be a cruel person. Ela yefached b'yidag b'yefashvesh b'masa b'yachzav b'tshuva. The whole idea of avelos is, in effect, to come to a madrega of tshuva. Avelos and tshuva are unquestionably connected with each other in a very intertwined kind of fashion. Even on Monday and Thursday, when we say Tachanun, so we say, so the months of Tammuz and Av, which we are presently ensconced in, are always followed by Elul and Tishrei. There's a organic connection between the Shivas of Tammuz and this 3 week of Kol Alfei Yisigua Ben Hametzorim, and that which follows upon the heels of it, namely the notion of tshuva. So Leitchi once said, in a different context, he said that in Av and Tammuz, we not only mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, but we also mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash within ourselves. Each one of us is a miniature Beis HaMikdash, which the Shechina resides. That's another Yadua. I believe the Makor is the Al Sheikh HaKadosh. The Al Sheikh already writes at the pasuk there, in Truma V'asu L'Mikdash, Shachanti B'Seichon, it said B'Seichon, doesn't say B'Seichai, each person, each one of us represents a Mikdash Ma'at, just like the Gemara says, the end of the Gila, and an Erechin regarding Besakneset, the Mikdash Ma'at, based on the Pasuk in the Cheska, Va'ela Mikdash Ma'at. So here also, each one of us constitutes a Mikdash Ma'at. And as a result, when we are Chayte, we become our own Nebuchadnezzar, we become our own Tikas HaRasha, we destroy that Mikdash Ma'at, the Shechina is banished. So through Tshuva and Elul, the Aser Shemit Tshuva, the Yom Neroyim, once again, we can become, as it were, our own Melech HaMashiach, to redeem ourselves, rebuild our own Beis HaMikdash, and that's when the Shechina returns. It's interesting that I saw that this idea of Avelos Vaninos is really almost expressed in a very explicit way in the Targum. The Targum has a comment on the Pasuk of Vayera Beras Yehuda, Ta'aniya Va'aniya. Again, the Farshim and the Medrash in Eicha already asked the question, what is the double language that's found over there? Vayera Beras Yehuda, Ta'aniya Va'aniya. So the Targum says, Aninusa Va'avilusa. The Targum says that these are two different aspects that I just spoke about. And again, the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh right away asked the Kasha on that Targum in Eicha. We know that Aninus precedes that of Abelus, and yet the Targum reverses it. Targum says, Abelusa Vaninusa. The Targum reverses the two that I just described a moment ago. So I heard from Agoyin Rav Yaakov Moshe Kalevsky Zatzal when he was in St. Louis. He used to come to St. Louis once a month to visit his mother, Alei Hashom, Hashiva in Baltimore, there you swell. So he said that the morning of the Churban is an ever recurring cycle. He said that there's an aninus and avelus, only to be followed by a new aninus. It's avelusa vaninusa. One stage of avelus ends, only to be followed by a fresh aninus at the same loss and destruction of the Besamidosh. And that aninus will be followed by another avelus, to be followed by another aninus, and ad infinitum till the coming of Mashiach. That's how he interpreted that Targum. And he pointed out the Gemara in Brachas, also a famous Gemara. You also spoke about this Gemara many times. The Gemara says that it's discussing when the Rav was Niftar and how the Talmidim responded to the Ptira of Rav. So the Gemara says that they realized that the Rebbe passed away and they didn't even know basics, fundamentals they were missing. And the Gemara, I'm not going to go through the whole sugya, but the Gemara there in Daf Mem Gimel, so the Gemara says, "Ahad kari la'achare, the kari kri achrina." Oma noch nafshi derav, because bezeno lagamrina, we don't even know how to bench. They lost their source of knowledge, they lost their Rebbe. So an aninus chadasha follows an old aninus. Avinusa v'aninusa. That's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Kolesky Zatzal suggested. So now, essentially, that we can reconcile that there's a basic difference between mourning over the loss of a relative, Chas V'Shalom, and mourning over the Churban HaMikdash. The mourning cycle of the relative begins with aninus, followed by avelus, and then nechama takes place, an eventual siluk of the avelus. And even, of course, through a mother and father, Rachman Litzan, after 12 months, as the Gemara says, Rashi quotes in the Chumash Rashi, on the Pasuk of Ayimoyin Li'istachim, the Gemara says that, Ein ha-mes mishtakev min alei melacha yud beis chedesh. On the other hand, mourning over a Churban is a never-ending recurring cycle. That's why Chaim Baloshina has a comment, Kol HaMisabe, Loshin Hoybe, Kol HaMisabe, Yushalayim, Zeichah B'Rei B'Simchosa. It's an ongoing kind of event. It begins with the same Aninus and Avelus. It has a partial nichum, as evidenced by the exchange between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. But the nichum is not followed by a siluk. The mourning never ends. There's an aninus chadosha, a new cycle of mourning that follows the temporary solace. That's the chiluk between Rachman al-Islam, the avelus of what the Gemara says in Yevamos, Amin Gilim, Memdalit, Shiny avelus chadosha, avelus Rishona. That is a distinction between God forbid avelus over the Churban HaMikdash, which is avelus Yishona, and avelus Chadosh Rachman Litzan. That's what Chaim Baloshin explains, that Yushalayim is alive for us, and we are constantly mourning its loss and never permanently comforted. And that's the Lashon of the Gemara, the Maimon Chazal that I mentioned. Each year you mourn over Yushalayim anew, it's a sign that Yushalayim for you is still a living item. It lives for you, and you'll merit, just like, unfortunately and tragically, we witness the Avelos, the Churban HaMikdash, will also be zeichah to see its happiness. And that's the Gemara at the end of Makkos. The Gemara has that discussion between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and Rabbi Akiva just saw the positive. Of course, they told him, Akiva, Nichamtonu, Akiva, Nichamtonu. And it's interesting, I saw once a name Yaakov over there that he reads, he has a text, Hashem Yinachameinu Omen, that the Rebbeinu Shem himself is menaching us. And there's a famous discussion, I'll mention what's discussed this in the context of the Tosfos at the end of Megillah. Tosfos Rid talks about it also at the end of Megillah. Hashem Yinachameinu Kasha, where's the Nechama? Every Techacha has to be followed by Nechama. You can't simply have Techacha without Nechama. Where's the Techacha? Where's the Nechama, the Techacha that's found in Parshas Kisavo? Techacha is found twice, once in Bechukosai, and once again in Parshas Kisavo. And Kisavo ends in a very abrupt kind of way. V'eshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim, ba'anios, ba'derach Hashem amati l'cha, v'smakatem sham lo'evecha l'abadim l'shvachas v'ein kainet. And then it says, "Ela de Be'abris, Hashatziva Hashem as Meishel, the closest place of the Eretz Moav, the Be'abris, Hashakarasitam Bechayet." In Mechukaisa, there is some degree of Nechama that's found. This Vadmas Abenim is Aben Avesim, the Malam Hashem Ra'al Ubi, Bav Hashahol Chubi Bekeri. Even though the Rishayim has the Kasha, the next pasuk, Afani Eilechem Am Bekeri, the Beis Hashem Eretz Oyveim, or Ozi Kana Lavavim Ha'orel, or Ozi Yitzchus Abenim, Zachad is Bisi Yaakov. There, it's a bit more of Nechama than you have in the Techachon Kisama. Where's the Nechama of the Techachon Kisama? So Rishayim say Tesis Reed, and many Rishayim point out it's found in Nitzavim. That's what you see. The Nechama of the Techacha of Parshas Kisavo. So you have to have, there's no Techacha without Nechama. The Gemara says in Seita that whenever it comes to giving Techacha, small Decha, Yom Mekari. It has to be Yom Mekari. It can't just be a small Decha. It can't just be a Midas Adin. It can be some element of Midas Arachim and some element of Nechama as well. So Chaim Alosha is saying that the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Akiva, we appreciate your solace, your comfort, but it's not permanent, it's not complete. You comforted us, but Akiva Nichantanu, it's an ongoing kind of situation, as Rav Chaim Alosha explains. And the interesting that Rav Elazar HaKadir, Atishibah, one of the kinas that we say, Al Churban Beis Hamikdash, and we speak about the Heres, and also we speak about the Chihudash, Esper B'Cholshana V'Shana Mispeit Chodash. Every year there's a new Hespin when it comes to the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Hashem Yinachameinu Amen. There's a din of Nechama that one is obligated to have Nechama, and there's even a practice actually that Avelim say Amen, Kabbalah Sran Chumim, and even the Rebbeinu Shem when he instructed the Nevi'im in the next week's Parsha and Avtera, Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yamar Alakechem, Davar Alev Yishalayim Kiru Eder, Kimala Tzva Kinitz Rabona Kilak Shavi Hashem Kivayim Bechol Chatzisel. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael to be mekabel tanchumim, but we are not ready to be mekabel tanchumim unless it comes to the Rebbeinu Shalom himself, Yichlei Deva'atzma. It's well known that when Yerushalayim was captured in the Melchemes Sheshet Hayamim, there were those who wanted to change the Nusach of Nachem. Goren, Zechen Lebracha, he wanted to change the Nusach, because the Nusach said, Vesair, Va'aveila, Achareva, Abzuya, Hashemema, and essentially, Shalom Yalada. So they tell you that now that we captured Yerushalayim, it's now under our control, it's under our sovereignty, it's under our autonomy, it's not Chareva, it's not Bzuya. Look how beautiful the buildings are in the city of Yerushalayim. And Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was misnaged b'chol tekef. I heard him say this on a number of occasions. Number one, he felt you have no right to change the Nusach HaTfilah. Nusach HaTfilah was coined by Achshes Sagdela, as the Gemara says, "Ubenayim kamen neviim." Rishonim always point out, "Benayim kamen neviim." It wasn't simply a Nusach that was put together by human hands, but "Benayim kamen neviim." So Kovman Shabigdash Chareg, and the Rambam Shita, well known in a number of places. Yerushalayim is a chelik of Migdash. He writes it several times. So again, to the Mishnah, also my second Megillah. The Mishnah says, "Vashimaisi tinshechem." Says the Rambam, all this is the Gabay, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But not the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Mokom HaMikdash. That Kedusha is based on the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom rested the Shechina there, and Shechina ain't a Betela. That's the Mishnah Megillah. And therefore the Gabay Yerushalayim, which is a chelik of Migdash, Dusha Rishon, Kitsha Lashaita, and Kitsha Lasudama. It's a machlokes of Rishon right there on the spot. The Kitzer, that as long as Yerushalayim is Chorev, as long as they long have to be Samigdash, so the Mela, Yerushalayim is considered to be here, Chareva, Bzuya, Rishon, Mema. And anyone who knows when you have to walk to the Makom HaMikdash, you have to walk through that Arab area. Chareva, Bzuya, Vishamema. Ain't Shum Sobek. And that's what the Rambam writes over there in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, I believe, on Chav Tes, in the Pirsha Mishnais. And that Mishnah, the Rambam comments over there when the Mishnah talks about Yom Tov Shem Rosh Hashanah, Shecholios B'Shabbos, the Mikdash are you taking Avolei B'Medina. That Mishnah, so the Rambam learns that Mikdash equals Yerushalayim. Mikdash and Yerushalayim are coterminous. Are Hainu Hach. That's what the Rambam also writes, I believe, in Hilchos Shofar. He writes like that as well. And the Rambam passes as well in Beis HaBchira. Three places the Rambam mentions that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is not Batel. It's based on the Shekhinah. And therefore, there's no basis for not saying Nachim Hashem Elokeinu, ongoing Nechama, is something that certainly is required in this context. So now, just to introduce the Kina, that was just a Shekhinah preamble. So now, to introduce actually the first... the first keynote. So here, in this kino, Shava Suru Meni Shimuni Ovrai, Schiu Mos has Simuni Bedri Habirai, Sakaisa Bishka Mesrois Dvirai, Sakaisa Behuvu Gibirai, Sakhu Khafu Wadu Ibarai, Sila Kalabirai. This kino, which begins the Seder of Kinos, is not really describing a description of the Churban HaMikdash, but essentially it's a description of the Tsar, of the Avelis of Klal Yisrael. Because the covered Yisrael was hushpal, because our covered was literally trampled underfoot by the actions of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, by the lag, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a result of that, distanced himself from us. Rav Soloveitchik said once in one of his true drashas, he commented that chet has two consequences. Consequence number one, chet mezahim, metamei. Chet, of course, pollutes, and chet defiles. But the Chet also does something else. It drives a wedge between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam says, "I'm an osecha ve'yum mabdilim beinechem ve'bein elokeichem," that it created a mercha between ourselves and Hashem is barach. So this kino also eloquently describes that mercha. But the ikar focus of this kino is on the bizayin kavod hashchina. On Friday, I was given a sefer. That was just published. I see her Rav Shlita. You mentioned Agdama. I went to the whole sefer last night. Bracha Titke Balayla and Rav Soloveitchik. So more or less, it's themes that are well known, that are Yadua. I probably had Simcha reading the sefer, so I don't know if I was allowed to, but I went to the whole sefer. Anyway, so essentially, this kina describes the hashpada of Klal Yisrael. And of course, we're asking Hashem, it's a bakosha, that he should take the kama from the enemy, because their interest is only lahare alonu. They want to be married against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even Zechar Hashem, ahay alonu, habita eska braseinu, galeinu. So this kina is based on the psukim in Eicha, as you can see, looking carefully. And you have also a reference and a remez that all the different batei mikdash that were nechrab. And you also have a remez here as well to the 10 last mishmaros. The Gemara says in a number of places in Shas, the Chabdal mishmaros kehuna. Gemara in Tainis and elsewhere, the 24 mishmaros kehuna. Here you have a reference to 10 of them. And again, it's based on, as I said, the Psukim in Eicha. But this idea, this notion of the Hashpala of the covenant of Klal Yisrael is really at the very yesod of this entire kina. Schiyu mos, tisimeinu bekerav ha'amim. That we were treated in a very shabby kind of fashion. And this is something which, of course, is, as Chazal tell us many, many times, that whenever Klal Yisrael's covenant is under attack, under assault, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam was under attack. not just Klal Yisrael, but it's Ribbono Shel, because Ribbono Shel and Klal Yisrael are Haynu Hach. We are actually the closest partners, the way the Tamer Dvayra writes. He points out that we are the Sher Basel Shakal Ribbocha. We are his closest consanguinity. We are the Krevi Mishpocha of Hashem Yisbarach. We are his relatives. In the moment, there's a Hashpolo in the covenant of Klal Yisrael, automatically, there's a Hashpolo in the... There's a Hashpolo, and this is an argument which is W Yadua throughout Chumash. Just anyone who learns Chumash, even very simply, the strongest argument that we have with that Ebishta, anytime he wants to destroy Klal Yisrael, we have one argument. The argument is, what a Chil Hashem it's going to be. Veiz Mir. There's no way the Ribbono Shel Olam can counter that argument. It occurs many, many times in Chumash. Just a number of examples, Moshe Rabbeinu, who constantly intervenes on behalf of Hashem is Barach. So we see, for example, in the context of the Cheder Ego. So there, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lech Reg Kishiche Samko Asher Otseisim Eretz Mitzrayim, Sor Mahem and Aderach Asher Tzivisim, Osu Lehem Ego Masecha, Vayishtachu Lo, Vayizbichu Lo, Vayomu Eilu Lechem Yisrael Asher Luch of Eretz Mitzrayim, and Vyato Anicho Vivicha Apim Mahem Vachalei, Vesel Estol Goy Golo. By the way, Vayichal Moshe, and what did he say? You can't do it. Vachil Hashem. Lama Yomu Mitzrayim, Lema Abroa, Hitziyam, Lama Gesam Be'oyim, not possible. And what is the result? This is to say that throughout Chumash, throughout Tanakh, I can show you four or five places in Chumash, but I'll show you in Tanakh, the famous parak in Yecheskel. Yecheskel Anovi, there also. In Perek Lam is Bob, Vayidvar Hashem Elai Leimor. Ben Adam, Beis Yisrael, Yoshim Elad Masa, Vayitambo Esau, Bidarkam Vali Leisau. Kitum Asanida, Oysa Darkam Lefonoi, Bo Eshba Chamosi Aleim. Look carefully, you'll see there are three Averis that I mentioned there. Gil Arai, Shrik Zdom Abnezal, the Rabban Chumash, in Achreimais, where the Rabban speaks about El Yisrael, commenting on the Rashi in Eker. Atzivu Lachem Tziyunin. So the Rabban notes that these three Averis, that's what the Torah describes, actually, Chassad Shalom Klal Yisrael will be spewed forth. The Torah has twice, at the end of Achareves and the end of Kedoshim, both of the parshas that deal with Arayis. And at the end of each of these parshas, the Torah speaks about, Lo Soki Horetz Yeschem Betamachim Yisrael, Asher Ko Asagoy Asher Lebnechem. There will be Hakor, Hakor, the way Rashi brings on the spot, the way Mefarshim explain, just like the way the Shach in Yodeh explains that the chiddush between Libun and Hagolah. That Libun, you want to destroy the Isur, and in Agoli, you want to simply remove it from the pot. Oh, here we have experts that you're there, right in front of me. Anyway, Kitzah Zayin Shach, and so what he mentioned, we're showing this idea that this notion of Hakor, Hakor means you simply want to remove the Blia, whatever was Nibla, Betoy Hasir, in the pot, that's what wants to be removed. So the Torah tells us that for these three Averis, and those are the three Averis that the Ramban accentuates, that I mentioned here also by the Navi Yecheskel, if these three Averis were going to grow, Chachman Litzlan, suffer the most dreaded punishment, which is Hesteponim, or if you will, Golos. Golos is the punishment, which is the most dreaded punishment that Klal Yisrael could possibly suffer. That's what the Navi says here. And there's a reference, a clue to all these three Averis. Ketumas Anida, Al Adam Asher Shochu, Ubegulayim Timua. These are the three Averis. Yilarai Shukas Dam Abin Zoma. So the Navi says, Vahofit Soysam Magoyim. As a matter of fact, this is the whole tumult that our salvation described, discussing the Torah, discussing the Mefarshim regarding the Haftarah that we read for Amos. And there's a big tumult, Acharemes Kedoshim. What Haftarah we read, some read the Haftarah twice. I spoke about it here already a number of times. And at the end, we read the Haftarah, which tells us that Klal Yisrael is once again going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. The Golos is the most dreaded punishment that one could possibly have. That's it mentioned there in Acharemes Kedoshim. Very clearly, both at the end of Acharemos, the Torah uses that lashon, the lashon of Akor. Lo soki haaretz eschem etamachim esok, asher ko asagoy, asher levneichem. And the lashon of Akor is the lashon of, as I mentioned, in the context of Giyul, that the Baal Hagola, the Baal Hagola, Agola, is supposed to take care of that problem. It's not salvation, is to make jokes about that. And so here, if you look at the end of Acharemos, so see also when the Torah mentions this parasha, so it tells you, It's a natural kind of consequence of behavior. The way the Ramban calls it, Sidrei, that Eretz Yisrael in the Sovels every Avera. Eretz Yisrael cannot handle, cannot weather someone who's an Avera. Once someone comes to Eretz Yisrael, one has to be on a higher Madrega. One has to recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ein Yashev Elokei Gavo, Reish Hashana Lachem Shana. And the same thing is also found, not just in Achareimos, but also at the end of Kedoshim. There also the Torah mentioned this dreaded punishment. And the dreaded punishment again is Golos, is Akor. And therefore, the Navi Yecheskel also tells us something similar, that if we violate these three averes, that the Ramban accentuates there in Acharemos, so how are we going to extricate ourselves from Golos? Then the answer is, the moment we leave Eretz Yisrael, that's a chilul Hashem, the greatest chilul Hashem that could possibly happen. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam Hadish Kibreila, Vayechmal Hashem Kodshi. He has no choice but to have Rachmanis and call Yisrael. Asher Chalu Beis Yisrael, Bagoyim Asher Bo Shama. Lachein Emor Beis Yisrael, Kol Amar Hashem Elokim. Lo Yom Amar Chem Ani Yisrael Beis Yisrael. I'm not doing it because of you. Ki Yim L'Shem Kodshi Asher Gimal To Bagoyim Asher Bo Shem Shama. You were Mechal Hashem Shamayim by your behavior, by your wayward behavior, and you were spewed forth from Eretz Yisrael, Hakol, but I have no choice. V'kidashti Yishmi Agodo HaMechulu Bagoyim Asher Gimal To Mezrechem. This is a theme that's throughout Tanakh. Many times in Chumash, and quite often, as I said, in Tanakh as well. And that's exactly a theme that's found here in this kina of Shabbos. Shabbos, as Soloveitchik interpreted, that Shabbos refers not only to the fact that suddenly, that in Megamenta, that immediately something happened that was of great consequence, but also the Chilul Kod Shamayim. The Chilul Kod Yisrael. It's interesting, the Lashon that's found here in the first stanza, the Lashon of not just Sur Menishmuni Ovrai, but some of the Girsa Ochrai. Ochrai, Eicher is the Lashon that was used by Achal to Eliyahu HaNavi. He called him Eicher Yisrael. Eicher is not a nice term. Mayim Akurin is found also in a number of halachic context. Mayim Akurim refers to water that's dirty, that's polluted. And Achav tells Eliyahu HaNavi, you enjoyed the suffering of others. You brought upon them a rav. But Eliyahu was the one responsible. The Benishim was responsible. Whatever the case is, this is a, in fact, an argument that the Chilul Kvod Shamayim with the Chilul Kvod Yisrael, the two go together. And therefore, that's a very very significant theme that's found over here in this particular kina. Interesting that the place of Hashem Yisbarach, of course, in our world is central to the Tisha B'Av experience. There are six stanzas over here that make reference, some directly, some obliquely, to Hashem's abode for which we long on this day. Here you have a mention of Mishkan, of Gilgal, of Shiloh, of Novi Givon, which are five locations of Hashem Yisbarach's tent. And the final place, which is hinted in the sixth stanza, also, it speaks of Bibuyecha. Bibuyecha refers to the place of your longing. It's not coincidental that Rabbi Elazar Kalir chose this appellation for the Bais HaMikdash, because on this day we contemplate how Hashem longed to build his home in Yerushalayim, and now we are the ones who caused its demise, and we are longing for it as well. That cheshek that we should have. So this kina that was authored by Rabbi Elazar Kalir, and there's a old discussion about who Rabbi Elazar Kalir was. You look at all the hakdamas, all the kinos. According to some, he may have been even one of the tanoim. And this is mentioned by the Balei HaTosfos, etc. We don't exactly know when he lived, but they place him. You'll discuss this with the Rav Brat Shlita, either from the Tananaic period or the Dagonic period, all over the place. That always reminds me of the Gemara in Basra, when Eov lived, the first parent. So he had the same issue. And maybe this lack of historical definition also reflects a fascinating reality. Just as the author defies any limitations in time, his poems are also ahistorical. They transcend the boundaries of generations. That's what our Soloveitchik felt But Rabbi Elazar Kadir, he was very much in love with Rabbi Elazar Kadir. I saw actually that the author Arugas Habesem, I think he lived in the 16th century. So Rabbi Avraham ben Azriel, he contends that this kina is really the conclusion of a longer kina, beginning with the word, with the letter Aleph over here, that was recited apparently by many during the Chazar Sashas and Shemoneh Esrei. But this Shabbat was recited separately following Shemoneh Esrei. And again, the Aleph-based model, which is very common in the kinos of Rabbi Elazar HaKadir, the first section concludes with the letter Nun. So here, the kina begins a series of stanzas with the letter Samach. Each of the eight stanzas has a complex pattern of words that are drawn from the six Aleph-based patterns in Megillah Seicha and woven together with all kinds of multiple allusions and all kinds of textual references in each line. And it's interesting, as I said, that this is a topic that Soloveitchik spoke about many, many times, how we were reviled by the Umas HaElam, that our tormentors, not only did they persecute us, they demonized us. And they characterized us as being subhuman, filthy, revolting, beginning with our initial Godless actually in Mitzrayim. During the enslavement, so the Torah actually, there are two lishonos that the Torah uses, our Soloveitchik is to comment on this as well. One is Vayoreu Lanu Hamitzvah Vayanunu, and the other is Vayoreu Osanu, the Pasha in Kisoma. What's the difference between Vayoreu Lanu and Vayoreu Osanu? So he pointed out the Rav that Vayoreu Osanu, they made us evil. The Torah should have said simply Vayoreu Lanu Hamitzvah Vayanunu. Namely, they did badly to us. The Torah wants to tell us it was not only physically assaulting us, but psychologically assaulting us as well. Our tormentors made us evil people in their eyes, in the eyes of the average Egyptians. And this we saw, those who are obviously well-read, as I imagine all of us are, namely in the 1930s, all the social propaganda, Goebbels, leading to the final solution, as Soloveitchik said, was a key of that puzzle. Namely, and here in the end, we ask Hashem that he should revenge. He should mete out justice, just like you have psukim at the end of Hazino. That Hazino also, the Ramban and Chumash writes, the Ramban says that Hazino is a shtar shira, is essentially a shtar of the entire history of Kol Yisrael. The ups and downs, the back and forth, the aliyot, the moradot of Kol Yisrael are found completely in Hazino. Here we rebel, by Ishman Yeshua, by Yivot, Shamata, Abisa, Kasisa, by Itosh, Eloka, Oso, by Nabal, Tzuri, Shuoso. And as a result, Yakdiu, Bezorim, Mr. Ebis, Yachisu, Yizbuchu, Lashen, Lo, Aloha, Hadashibi, Koraboro, Lo, Sorim, Abosechem, Yutu, Yod, Chateshi, we forgot Hashem, Yitbarach, Hatishka, Kel, Mechol, Leko, and then, Vaya, Hashem, Ayinot, Vikas, Bono, Vablesa, Astir, Maya, Ben, Lochamol, Hester, Ponit, Ere, Mach, Risom, Kidor, Tapu, Hoseima, Bono, Mlaim, Bob, Kinun, Bilayel, Kiasun, Bilayel, Baniak, Yem, Lo, Mago, Dabal, Achise, Kesh, Kot, Chabiapi, Vivon, Shom's fire is going to emerge, and on and on and on. But finally, the Torah speaks about Nekama. And here also at the end of this kina, we have the issue of revenge and justice regarding our enemies, because Klal Yisrael, or if you will, our Hashkafa, does not eschew the idea of revenge of Nekama. It was the concept of Nekama. We understand the need for retribution and judgment. For example, in the Abba Rachamim, there also, every Shabbos, we actually dive into Hashem. That's the form was up, and that was in response to the crusade massacres. But each of the psukim that speak of revenge in the Abba Rachamim and elsewhere in Tanakh address the question of revenge to Hashem. We ask Hashem to exact justice upon our enemies. We don't necessarily claim the right of retribution, because that belongs to Hashem. Li nokam bishilen. Ki korv yom edam, v'chosh asid os lomo. Ki yireh ki oz las yom, the Baruch Hashem sees the matzah is so bad, evis osuv ozuv, then of course right away, he's going to go into action. So here also we ask Hashem his barach as well, that to go ahead and take the kama. In effect, it's interesting that Soloveitchik pointed out that the beginning of this kina Shabbos, Suri Meni, Shabbos means Shabbos Vayinofash. The Rebbe Shalom rested when it came to Shabbos, but it also reflects the connotation of suddenness, Pitomiyut, something that happens unexpectedly. And the Rav said that all Klal Yisrael knew about the impending Korban. The Navi Yibiyahu could say that. That's what he was railing against Klal Yisrael. So the one to be a sheker. He said otherwise. Hanani ben Azor. So he obviously, his Nebuah was in the other direction. That nothing will happen. The Rambam describes this in Pirush HaMishnayis and also in Mishnah Torah. And also, as you related this keynote to the Haftarah of Parshat Bahar, in Yimiyo over there, Paraglama base, where there the Navi describes how Hashem commanded him to leave Yerushalayim to visit a mishpacha in Anasos and to buy a field. When he left, Mesabim was still standing. When he returned, he couldn't see actually the column of smoke. And that's already one of the nisim that the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah mentions that the vertical column of smoke, that the wind, the ruchos, were not menashev to destroy that column of smoke. That was one of the miracles of Beis Hamikdash. And so essentially, this happened in a very sudden kind of fashion. Also, Leshi connected it to his own personal situation of the death of his Rebbetzin, Alei Shalom. He actually paralleled between the experience of Yirmiyahu HaNavi and his own on two levels. He was always at her side, even when she was ill. And only when he left her for a short period of time, and then she was nifta suddenly. And so here also, this is something that happened in a very sudden kind of fashion. But the key here is the Shchiyu Moos Tesimuni Be'edri Chavera. Namely, this idea that somehow the Qurban is not only the physical decimation of Kal Yisrael, but primarily and preeminently the element of the, as I said, the Gentile world has an attitude of vitriol, of invective, of disdain, of a lack of derech eretz for Klal Yisrael. And that's how they portray us. Nothing has changed. Life goes on its merry way, and the goyim continue on their merry way. So all this is part of the aveilos that we are involved in, the Chumash HaMidrash. I once heard from Agrein HaMeshach Shapiro, that's all, that he commented on the Gemara at the end of Ches Sabbatim. The Gemara there talks about what Chazal actually had in mind. The Goyin already writes, the Goyin says that the Nidhogim of the 3 weeks come about as a result of that sukkah at the end of Bava Basra. Absolutely, the Shurim at sukkah said there are three divim, two different Gemaras. One Gemara at sukkah, one Gemara at the end of the third paragraph of Bava Basra. That's Sabbat, and we're called Sifrim Sukkim. We have Nidhogim, we know that we try to remember Yerushalayim under the Chuppah. People are not so makbid on the Eifer. Absolutely, was very makbid on the Afer under the chuppah. I saw a number of times that there was a chassan with a very beautiful hairdo. So the machtagansa hairdo for the chassana. And he was looking at it. Looks like he was admiring it. That's why I thought he was admiring the hairdo. And then at one point in time, after all the admiration and the like, and this chassan was dressed like a Don Juan, like a prince, aristocratic, beyond aristocratic. And the kitzer, then also then she asked, where's the Afer? And then he took it and he completely messed up his entire hairdo with such a gleam, such a smile, such a shmecha. I never saw my ganz lever. That was absolutely, for that alone, was good night to come to the chasana. The kids, the avelos, that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, actually, that's the avelos that one should, but the question, what to do? So there were those who wanted to even literally, completely, and totally no longer drink wine, no longer eat bread, anything having to do with the Magam HaMidosh, let's go ahead and get rid of it, eliminate it. So Chazal said that's not possible. That the Sabbath Yisimidai Yevshar Shein Gezim Zera Al Tzibur and cannot see Bichal Lamed Ba. Only the Tzibur can handle it. But Lo the Sabbath Kolikar is also not appropriate. Not to do Avedus Bichal. So therefore, they came to a number of things that people don't even do today. Sod Adam based on the Sid to leave an Amal Lama. Mentioned Shulchan Aruch actually to leave it not painted, etc. And but the Gemara there had a suggestion. And literally across the board, but because of the exera, that'd be impossible. So therefore, we don't do so. So the Rabbi Shapiro actually, okay, I don't know if what time it was. I thought it was 10 minutes. Anyway, Bikitsa, so the so he has a long arichos, he said on that Gemara, but essentially what he was trying to simply explain is that there has to be some sense of avelos. There has to be something, and that's what the Goyin, the Bi'ah Gra writes, that is the what we do today. So for 9 days, during from Rosh Chodesh, Ma'estik in Flesh. So some people hold, like they have camps in the United States, I have Talmidim who are there. Every night is the Hasim. Every single night. Today, so I don't have a Siyam, a little Tisha. But every single night I have a Siyam, because how could we come in? How can a person survive without steak, without meat? Where's the beef? Is that the lotion? Anyway, so the not possible. And Chazal apparently felt that that's not necessarily appropriate. At least 9 days we can survive. That's what the Gemara writes. The Gemara says based on that Gemara, that's the basis for those 9 days. Anyway, so this is the Kina, which is absolutely more or less focused on this issue of Chilul Kvod Shamayim. Shabbat Shalom.